didn't run through the house, but amen, amen. I was glad too. Had power, didn't get any major snowstorms. Feel bad for everybody that it went east on, but I guess it was their turn, right? I guess snow's not a bad thing. It'd just be better if it came when it was warm, right? Yeah, that cold temperatures keeps it around, doesn't it? It is winter. Yeah. Amen. I said, I like snow. I just don't like cold weather. I'm not sure how those two meld together, or, you know, go together, but only in small portions and only when I want it, right? But I'm thankful to be here today, thankful to be feeling better, and thankful for all of those who are recuperating. And as we get through this season, God is good. Amen? Amen. Enjoyed his presence. Enjoy the worship and things this morning. And, you know, we're coming out of the message of the, you know, what we call the Christmas message. And we talk about the story of Bethlehem. We talked about, you know, Elizabeth and Zechariah, and we talked about Bethlehem, and we talked about the shepherds, and we talked about the angels, and we talked about the wise men, and all of the different things that play out in the Christmas story. How many of those things are in a series of years, really, that play out? We look at them as always, it happened all one weekend, but that's not really the case. The wise men probably did not come for quite a while after baby Jesus was born. Because the scripture says he came to the house where the young child was, not the baby, and that they traveled a distance to get there. And when they came, they brought him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And so we've talked a little bit about things that wise men do. Amen. I believe wisdom is God-given. I think if anything that we can pray and ask that God would give us, it's to pray and ask that God give us wisdom. Because I really think if we function under godly wisdom, that everything else unfolds and plays out of that. Amen? And so I pray often for wisdom, not only for myself, but for my children and my grandchildren. I pray, Lord, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom to lead. Give us wisdom in our relationships. Give us wisdom in our decisions. Give us wisdom in how we communicate. Because I believe the wisdom of the Lord is divine. And I believe it's priceless. And I believe when we function out of godly wisdom, that we won't have to worry about a whole lot of other things. That there's a whole lot of things that if we make wise, godly choices, that they won't lead us down a road that leads to trouble or destruction. Amen. How many can say, and you don't have to raise your hand, that there's sometimes I would have wished I would have listened to the Lord, but I made some of my own decisions, and it got me to where I was. How many know if you continue to make the same decisions you've always made, you're going to get what you've always got? So, at some point along the line, we have to have a wisdom that says, God, direct my steps, lead me in the path that you'd have me to go, because whatever your purpose and whatever your desire for me is, it will bring peace, it will bring contentment, it will open doors, it will close doors. How many are thankful for closed doors? Because there are sometimes when we pray for things and God closes a door and we don't understand, and yet we look down the line later and say, thank you, Lord, that you closed that door. Because, you know, we don't always see, you know, what's behind things, but in hindsight, we look back and say, thank you, Lord, for unanswered prayers. Because there's sometimes we pray out of our own needs, out of our own selfishness, or out of our own, I don't want to say ignorance, but out of not knowing God's a bigger plan, a bigger picture. How many know there's so many times in the scripture where God shows them a bigger plan, a greater plan? And sometimes what seems like chaos and sometimes what seems like the end of something may just very well be the beginning of something even greater. Can you say amen this morning? And so in this season that we've been in, even in the last couple years, my prayer is, Lord, give us wisdom to know where you're taking us what your purpose is, and don't let us fall into the trap of doing things because we've always done it this way. We've always got to do it that way, right? Because I believe God wants to give us new and innovative ideas, and I believe that God is, you know, there's nothing wrong with the old, but how many know sometimes God wants to introduce the new? And in introducing the new, we don't always recognize it unless our heart is tuned to see what God is doing. And so I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. I want to talk about hearing mixed with grace. I want to talk about what it means to wait. Has anybody ever waited on something? Yeah. I mean, like really waited on something. And believed God and prayed and sought God and waited and said, Lord, what do I do in the waiting? Amen? Because sometimes in the waiting of things, I mean, you know, when Mary and Martha were waiting on Jesus and he didn't come and he didn't show up like they thought he would, they thought that God had passed them by or God had failed them, when yet God was about to unveil to them one of his greatest miracles, and their comment to him was, Lord, if you would have just been here, my brother would not have died. We waited for you. The scripture talks about waiting patiently, wait upon the Lord. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. But how many know sometimes in the waiting, there's some things that we need to do? Yeah. In the waiting. And I don't know, like I say, if you've ever prayed for something, if you've ever desired something. But, you know, I have some markings in my Bible. And a pastor friend of mine calls it my brick and mortar Bible. How many know we have our iPads and we have our phones and we have all those kind of things, but I still like my brick and mortar Bible. And I get out that Bible and then I get out another translation and I get out another translation and I go through different translations. But how many know there's sometimes when it might just be comforting to hug your brick and mortar Bible and you just don't get the same feeling hugging your iPad. It's just not the same thing, right? I was looking this morning, I was back in my office, and I have my mom's Bible back there. And in that Bible, there are a whole lot of little different scriptures, and there's some promises, and there's some different things written down. I have some promises written in my Bible of things that I prayed for, and then I waited. Amen? And now I go back and read some of them, and I think, well, that doesn't seem like a big deal. But at the time, it was a big deal. Amen. When you're waiting for something, it can be a big deal. And so what do we do in the waiting? What do we do in transition? We talk about that word a lot of times, transition. When we're transitioning from one phase to another, when we're transitioning from something, we may be transitioning in a job, you may be transitioning in, you know, just a different phase of your life, or whatever it is means to transition. And I learned back a few years ago that that word transition is a maternal word. It's the moment that when a woman is in labor that she is allowed to push. And when you get to that point, it's where you have you kind of have three stages, I guess it is, of labor and delivery. And you get to that point where it's time to have a baby, right? And so when you get to that point, that's mostly the moment and the point in time when you're ready to get up and go home. Right, ladies? Enough's enough. Either let's get this baby or let's go home, one of the two. Because pressure and waiting and the process of time, how long does labor last? Forever. How long? However long it takes. Nobody can tell me how long, right? Nobody can tell me the amount of hours. It depends on the baby, right? When I had my first one, it took 36 hours. But when I had my second one, once my water broke, it didn't take very long at all. So there are times that, you know, we when we're in that process, if you knew going into labor that's only going to take 5 hours, 10 hours, or whatever, you would have some end in sight, right? Do you know that kids struggle a lot of times because they don't understand time? And so they'll say to you, how much longer? And you can say hours, but they don't understand the concept of hours. They don't understand the concept of time as we understand time, right? And so, like, sometimes the kids will say to the grandkids, well, it'll be three more sleeps. You're going to sleep three more times, and then after that, then, you know, because days and hours and time don't always compute with them. And so sometimes in the waiting, if you knew how long the waiting period was, it would make it easier, right? Are we there yet? Right? Everybody gets in the car. Are we there yet? No. How much longer? Well, it's going to be 3 hours, or it's going to be however long it is. But it's because we're always anticipating time. I wrote something down yesterday. I wrote red on time. And what do you know, that you sit at a stoplight for 6 months out of your life? 6 months out of your life is spent sitting at a stoplight. So that little moment of time, you spend 5 hours of your life standing in line somewhere. Did you know that? Maybe a lot of that comes from going to school and have to stand in line. I don't know if they figured school into that or not, but they say that you spend 5 hours of your life just standing in line. The amount of time that you know, that's just wasted by just standing in line or whatever. Now, let me just say, that might be different for some, because I don't know about you all. When we go to a restaurant, and they'll say, how long's the wait? Some people in my family are not willing to wait as long as some other people in my family are willing to wait, if you know what I mean. Patience and waiting don't always go together, right? And so the amount of time that you're willing to wait for a meal, or wait for a table, or wait for, you know, we had some people that came here from another country one time for conference, and they didn't understand the concept of us driving 40, 45 minutes just to get to like a Walmart or something like that. They thought that was an awfully long time to just go somewhere to them, because it was a long time. But I said, well, you know, for us, we just redeem the time. When Dan and I have a Lowe's date and we go to Lowe's, we just take that time in the car to have communication, right? He's trapped in there for 30 to 40 minutes, and he has to listen to what I say, right? And there's no TV distraction, and vice versa. So, you know, we learn to redeem our time. What do we do most of the time now if you're waiting? Pull with your phone, what'd you say? Look at the phone. Yeah, most of the time, I was at a doctor's office the other day, magazines are obsolete, right? Number one, because nobody wants to touch them because of COVID. I don't want to read that magazine after somebody else read that magazine. So what do? We all sit there and we look at our phones, right? And so we redeem our time, and whether you're looking at something important or not, other people may not, you may not be a phone person, that may not be what it is. Maybe you take a book or whatever, but to being able to redeem time. Somebody said one time the most important thing that you can give to somebody is your time. You can give them your money and that'll go. But how many know time is something you never get back? Once I give you my time, I don't get that back. Time is something that we can invest in one another. You know, and my mom used to say to me, and especially in her later years, and I would say, Mom, what do you want for your birthday, or what do you want for Christmas or something, you know, or would you rather just go somewhere or go out to dinner or whatever? And she said, I'd rather just go spend time with you. I don't need anything. I'd rather just have that time. We would spend time together. And she loved Red Lobster, and I loved Red Lobster, so we spent our quality time at Red Lobster, or, you know, maybe a shopping trip after that. But how many know time is important to us? And so the amount of time that we're willing to wait on something, how many know a lot of times we get impatient, and we make choices, and we do things because we don't want to wait, right? We're impulsive about things at time. But I want to talk a little bit about out of Luke chapter 2 this morning. And this happened about 40 days after the birth of Jesus, which we are, this week coming up will be the 40-day period. If we take from the time of Christmas to the 40-day period, this would be in what some organizations celebrate as the celebration of purification, or that time period. It says, when the days of her purification, talking about Mary, according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost, everybody say Holy Ghost, was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Let me say it another way. The Holy Ghost had revealed unto him that he should not see death before he had seen him who is life. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and she had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon them, was upon him. So we have this story here where Mary and Joseph were required by the law to bring the baby Jesus, to have him circumcised from the eighth day. That was a commandment given under the old covenant, that he was to be circumcised. And then in another 32 days, or in a 40-day period, they were to come back. But this time, the reason they came back to the temple was for the time of Mary's purification. And under the law, once you'd had a baby, you had a 40-day purification process, and then you would go back, you would be cleansed, and you would be certified to be clean under the law. You had no more issue of blood, you had nothing else, and you were considered clean, and that's what they had come to the temple for, and then they were to offer a sacrifice for their cleanness, a sacrifice for their purification, and a sacrifice in praise for the gift of a son that was given to them. And so here we find Mary and Joseph coming into the temple, obeying the law of the covenant and what was demanded of them. If you had money and were rich, you would give a different sacrifice. But if you were not and didn't have lots of funds, you could give turtle doves or two young pigeons as a sacrifice for your purification. It's another instance where we see that where Jesus has his humble beginning as a babe in the manger, and yet later we'll see the regal side of that when the wise men come to see Jesus and they bring of him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so here we see them at the temple, and they bring the baby and to have him sacrificed. To give the offering for the purification. And when I think about this, the name Simeon means hearing, or he who hears. And the name Anna means grace. So I want to talk about our hearing this morning mixed with grace. It says, in that instance, grace came. Now, we also know in the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth that when they brought John the Baptist back to the temple to be offered, remember, and they were going to give him that name. They brought him back, and they would do the circumcision, and they would give the baby the name, just as we see here. They gave him the name Jesus. They wanted to name Zechariah and Elizabeth's son. They said, what are you going to call him? And they said, we're going to call him John. And they said, there's nobody in your family named John. And he gets a writing tablet, and he wrote, his name will be called John. How many know the name John is a version also, which means grace? How many know God, what God is about to do in this season of what we see in the New Covenant and the New Testament is God is about to bring the message of grace. He sends John as a forerunner to prepare the way of the Lord to make his path straight. John, the last of the old covenant prophets, Jesus, the first of the new covenant, and the beginning of what a season of what we would come to know of the grace and the mercy of Jesus. Amen? And so we see them being obedient to the law, coming into the law. What I like about this is we see Simeon and Anna is a sample and an instance, a demonstration of an old covenant, an old order. And then yet we see Jesus coming in as a new testament, a new covenant, and a new order. I say it like this, it's when senior citizens meet the teenagers, right? We have Simeon and Anna, and the scripture says that they were older, well stricken in years. There's a couple different thoughts on the age of Anna. She's at least in her 80s, but it's thought that she's probably about 103. Depending on how you read the translation. And the scripture says of her that she stayed in the temple day and night and ceased not to have fasting and prayers in the temple. Probably she lived in the temple because she was a widow. She didn't have a pension. She didn't have a retirement. She didn't have offspring. She didn't have children as we know it. And so she did not have, back in those days, if you didn't have sons or if you didn't have a husband, you didn't have resources, right? You didn't have any kind of programs or anything like that that paid you. You either went and lived with other family, but this scripture says that she chose to live in the temple and she served diligently in the temple night and day with prayer and fasting. Anybody know of a good, honest, praying woman in your life? Yeah. Amen. Somebody that believed in the power of prayer. I'm thankful for a background of some grandmas and some people who knew how to get a hold of God. Yeah. That believed in the power of prayer. I still say that my grandmother Ethel was probably one of the greatest women I've ever known. She never had an education. She never had running water in her house. She didn't have a bathroom in her house. But she found Jesus and she knew how to pray. Amen. And she prayed for her sons, and she prayed for her kids, and she prayed for her family, and she saw her sons delivered from alcoholism and abuse and a whole lot of crazy backgrounds, and saw God not only deliver them, but turn them around and make them a voice in the kingdom. Amen. And so we sometimes underestimate the power of prayer. But let me tell you, that you know, she says she was fasting and praying. And we do, you know, we talk about fasting. We talk about, you know, giving up a meal or whatever. And I believe that you can do that. You can fast and pray, and there's nothing wrong with that. Fasting is really just setting yourself aside for a time to focus on what God is saying, what he wants to speak to you, what he wants to direct in you. But sometimes I think the greatest thing that we need to fast in this season is we need to fast from some negative voices. We need to fast from some TV and some CNN. We need to fast for some Facebook and some social media. We need to turn off some of the things that change the atmosphere of our minds. Amen. There's so often that we sometimes allow voices to speak into our mind or speak into our heart that we become weary, we become afraid, we become fearful, we become discouraged. Amen. How many know you don't get much media attention from good news? Amen. Right? Most of the time the media gets on there with some kind of story, and most of the time it's not good news. That's what makes it news, you know. And so sometimes we have to fast and set ourselves aside sometimes from those things. But it said she stayed in the temple day and night. And there was also a man there named Simeon. So I'm going to give you guys some credit here. God's name Simeon means hearing, a guy who can hear. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. And so he is in the temple night and day. I mean, he's not in the temple. She's in the temple night and day. He's led what? By the Holy Spirit. How many know if ever we need some time where some men are led by the Holy Spirit, it's today. Amen. To be Holy Spirit led. To understand that there's sometimes when you just need to listen to the still small voice and it's not your wife's. However, sometimes the Holy Spirit sounds a whole lot like your wife, right? But how many know sometimes that, you know, we listen to so many other voices when we just really need to be led by the Holy Spirit? God, what are you saying to me? What is your purpose? What is your will? And Scripture said he was led to the temple. And I pray that God leads our men into the temple by the Holy Spirit to hear what he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says into the church. Now, this is interesting because we don't hear about a lot of Holy Spirit-led or Holy Spirit-filled people until when? To the day of Pentecost, right? In the upper room, we understand the infilling, the power of the Holy Spirit. But prior to this, who do we know is filled with the Holy Spirit? John the Baptist is. Who else? His mama was filled with the Holy Spirit too. How many know a mama filled with the Holy Spirit and a son filled with the Holy Spirit is a force to be reckoned with? Amen? And so he's led by the Spirit into the temple. And how many know that I believe God is speaking to his people in this day that if we'll stay in tune with the temple, if we'll stay consistent, if we'll follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, how many know God will show up in our midst? And he might not just show up in the way that you think he might show up. He might show up in the arms of a teenager. He might show up in a package that don't look like what you've been looking for. It may look like a baby. It might not look like what you've been thinking. But how many know Simeon said, I know what the Lord promised me. He said, I would not see death until I had seen the Messiah. I will not see death until I have laid my eyes on him who is life. And life more abundantly. And I will not only lay my eyes on what Jesus and the Messiah is about to do, but I will embrace it and I will hold it in my arms and I will lift it up to heaven and say, Lord, you can let your servant now depart in peace because I've seen what you promised me. You fulfilled everything that you've spoken to me. And here's what I love about this. Simeon didn't even say, well, this little baby hadn't done a thing. How many know he's 40 days old? How many know it was the down payment of what God was about to do? Simeon said, I can pass on from the scene now because I have seen the beginning of what you're about to do. You have brought a light to the Gentiles. How many know now it's a gospel for the whosoever will? And I didn't forget Israel, the glory of my people Israel. I'm about to blend of twain one new man, bringing Jew and Gentile together. How will I do it? But with the birth of a baby that Simeon and Anna would hold and embrace in a temple one day. Hallelujah. It may seem like it might not ever come. Do you think Simeon and Anna got tired of waiting? Sometimes we get weary in the waiting, but if we'll be confident in the fact that what God has promised, He will bring it to pass in your life. And when we wait for the divine and do not settle for other things, God will bring to pass the very thing that He promised in our lives. And so there this baby comes in the arms of a teenager. How many know we sometimes, God is in our midst and we don't recognize Him for the package? That got a big amen. How many know God can show up in so many ways? God will show up in your car. He'll show up in your dreams. He'll show up on your job. You know, I so often will pray, Lord, just send your messengers. Because, you know, sometimes when people won't listen to your voice, they'll listen to somebody else. And wherever we might be, or wherever we might go, how many know the power of the Holy Spirit and the prayers go with us? Yeah. But it says, and you know, I love this because it's the generational God. And you know me, you know that I love generational God. And I love that God uses the old, if I want to say it that way, and the young. Amen? Yeah. And that when we have the blending together, I love the example of, you know, the old and those who are faithful and those who set the example of giving and serving and showing up. How many know if you can't give them credit for anything else, you give them credit because they showed up. They were present. They were faithful. They were workers. They were givers. Amen? And yet a younger generation comes in just in the beginnings of a whirlwind of God's calling in their life. And I love the Simeon and Annas who are able to take them in their arms. Those who are able to tutor them. Those who are able to train them. Those who are able to console them. Those who are going to be able to say, it's not going to always be easy because a sword's going to pierce through your side. But I'm telling, this child is set for the rise and fall of many, and He's set for great things, and God has chosen you to bring forth that child. How many know what we sow and what we put into the life of a child will never go void, but it will always, the scripture tells us, train them up in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. You don't think they're listening, you don't think they're watching, you don't think they know, but they know. I mean, sometimes they're the first ones to call you on it. They're the first ones to remind you on it. You know, and so they know and they watch. And so what we bring together, I mean, sometimes it can be trendy. We go through trends in church and, you know, everything is gets to be trendy. But how many know there's some things that never go out of style? Faithfulness never goes out of style. Serving never goes out of style. Giving never goes out of style. Showing up in the house of God doesn't go out of style. Those things matter. And so it said that just about the time that Simeon, the man who is hearing from the Holy Spirit, has that baby in his arm, grace shows up. And I just want you to picture for a moment mature man embracing the very promise of God in his hand and covered and anointed and joined with the grace of God. Hallelujah. How many know persistence matters? Perseverance matters. Water makes its way through a rock not by its strength, but by its persistence or perseverance. Have you ever seen what water can do to a rock? The flow of the Holy Spirit, what it can do, and the years of water wearing away at something, not because water is strong in the sense, but because it's persistent. I pray that God gives us eyes to see God's gift in everyday places and in everyday people. To Simeon and Anna, to Elizabeth and Zechariah, it seemed that God, they had waited, but God was too late. And I said this before, and to Mary and Elizabeth, it seemed like God was too soon. Amen. God was too early. But for Elizabeth and Zechariah, who were well stricken in age, for Anna and Simeon, who had been waiting and waiting, it seemed like God was too late. And yet, God shows up, and God fulfills the promises and brings to pass that which he promised. Isaiah 28 through 31, one of my favorite passages, says, "Hast thou not known?" This particular scripture starts out in Isaiah by saying, comfort ye my people. Say to them that the warfare has been accomplished. How many know when Jesus, we sing the song, Tidings of Comfort and Joy. You know, the angels came to announce the message of comfort and joy. But it says, comfort my people. How many know there's people who need comforted in this season? But can I also say it's not a season to get comfortable? Amen. It's easy to get comfortable. It's easy to get complacent. It's easy to be okay with things being, you know, nothing happening, right? But there's a difference in being comforted and being comfortable. But it says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, everybody say, but. Behold, unveiling truth, but, B-U-T. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Wait. Those who wait upon the Lord shall have renewed strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. What makes this portion of the scripture in Luke powerful is the introduction of the power of the Holy Spirit, or presence. How many are thankful for the presence of God? See, I hope you didn't come here today thinking that Jesus lives here while we're not here. Because how many know this is just a building? It's a church, and it's a place of gathering. But how many know the presence of the Lord came with you when you came here, and it's going with you when you leave? The scripture says he is a very present help in the time of trouble. Presence. See, I don't want to just come together. If we just come together and there's no presence here, there's no flow of the anointing, no flow of the power of the Holy Spirit, if we're not being led by his Spirit, if we're not feeling his Spirit, if we're not feeling his presence, it's just another gathering. Amen. But when God begins to speak and he begins to minister in the body, and we begin to hear the voice of the Lord, and we respond and we minister. How many know we talked about this before? In this house, there's full of treasures, and God may lay somebody on your heart and maybe want you to go pray with them or go speak over them or something. That's the unction and the flow of the Holy Spirit. That's the same unction that Simeon said, I'm going to the house of the Lord today because I think today is my day. I think that today is the day that God will fulfill his promise in me, and I'm going to show up, and God's going to show off, and we're going to see the presence of the Messiah. How many know he'd come to the temple a whole lot of times without Jesus being there? See, I don't want to come to the temple without Jesus being there. I want to come and experience presence, and I want to experience his vision, and I want to experience the Holy Spirit speaking and guiding and directing us. Amen? In the ways that we should go, following that still small voice. How many can say you've heard the still small voice sometimes where it just says, nope, not there. Nope, not that. yes, this, or the prompting. Sometimes it's not always no. Sometimes it's a yes. Sometimes it's a prompting when God begins to prompt you to have you in the right place at the right time. I've pulled into places or pulled into gas stations and things like that or rest areas and pulled right out because something in my spirit just didn't check out right, and I pulled out and went on down the road. There's been many times Dan and I pulled in a place one time. He said, "I don't know. What do you think?" I said, "I don't know." You know, where we're checking what's our spirit say. Because sometimes when we supersede the voice of the Lord in our life, that's when we find that struggle comes. And I'm guilty. There's been times when I've overridden the voice of the Lord and go back to say, I should have heeded that voice. Amen. Because in our eagerness, but I believe God will prompt you. I believe God will lay things on your heart. And sometimes we're waiting for that voice out of heaven, that audible voice. And sometimes it's just the voice inside your head or the voice inside your heart that says, go. And when you go, I'll give you the words to speak, and I'll, you know, he prompts us to go and to minister, whether it be in the body or when we're out. There's sometimes that God just connects us with people. So what do you do while you're waiting? What do you do when you're in transition? What do you do when you don't know exactly what's next? Ever been there where you don't know exactly what's next? When you're kind of between trapezes where you let go of this one, but you haven't quite grabbed a hold of that one yet, and it's that feeling of sinking in the middle while you wait. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. Lord, what do we do in transition? What do we do when we're not sure what's next? What do we do when there's an unsettling in our heart and we know that you want to do something, but we're not sure what that is? What do we do? We be led by the Holy Spirit. You listen for that still small voice. I mean, when Elijah was in the cleft of the rock and in the cave, after all the miracles that he had done, after he'd called down fire from heaven, how many know Jezebel was looking for him? And when Jezebel started to look for him, he went and hid in the cave. And said the earthquake came. God wasn't in the earthquake. And the storms and all the things, the wind and everything came. And then there was the still small voice. I mean, there's sometimes, we got to just be listening for the still small voice that what God is speaking to us. And it may not be popular, but if you'll listen to it, he'll take you where you need to go. Be Holy Spirit led. What else do you do when you're waiting and transition? Prayer. It said she ceased not to fasting and prayer day and night. I had a lady tell me one time, she said, "Well, I don't really know how to pray." And I said, "How can you not know how to pray?" And I said, "It doesn't come with these and thous and thus saith the Lord. It comes with just you being in communication with the Lord." Some of the time, the best times for me to pray is get in the car, go down the road, and just talk. Ain't nobody in there to interrupt me. Ain't nobody in there to tell me anything different. And I just talk out loud to the Lord sometimes. So if you ever drive past me in the car and I'm talking, I'm either singing or I'm talking to Jesus. Either one, just leave me be because I'm having a good time all by myself. Right? Sometimes you just got to talk to somebody who understands you. Sometimes it's just me, right? And so sometimes I'll just talk. So I get on the lawnmower and I just talk. Say, "Lord, today this is concerning. It's heavy on my heart. I just need to talk to you today, Lord. I just want to share my heart with you." Or sometimes I just want to say, "God, you've been so good. God, you are so faithful. And I just need to take the time today to thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that you've been my help. Thank you that you've been my rock. Thank you that things could be a whole lot worse than what they are, but you've brought me to this place and you've given me the strength to be who I am and where I am today, Lord. Thank you." I have about a 15 to 20 minute ride to work, and I can do a whole lot of talking in about 15 to 20 minutes. And sometimes I just go down the pews. Bless him, Jesus. Sometimes I just go down the pews and I just pray. That's why everybody sits in the same pew every Sunday, isn't it? So that you make sure you just don't get missed in the prayer chain there. You know, you just go down the pews. And if I lay there at night and I can't sleep, I can just think about people and I'll just start praying for them. Because I'm going to tell you, you can count sheep if you want to, but if you let the Holy Ghost work through you and you begin to pray, it'll bring rest to you and it'll bring rest to them. I'll be laying there in my bed at night, and if I wake up, I just start praying. Because praying will calm me and it keeps my mind from going places that it shouldn't go, right? Because most of the time when we lose sleep, it's because when we wake up, our mind is worrying and it goes to a place of worry. And before you know it, it'll start to steal your peace and it'll start to steal your joy and it'll start to steal your rest. But when you wake up and you start to pray and say, God, I thank you that you're touching this. And I thank you that you're healing that baby. I thank you that you're giving comfort to those that mourn. I thank you, God, that you're moving in our midst. And we begin to pray. How many know things happen when Holy Spirit-led people begin to pray? Hallelujah. So don't ever underestimate the power of your prayer. And don't think like that you can't pray because you don't have all the these and thous. He just wants to hear your voice. He just wants to hear you talk. He just wants you to share your heart sometimes. Hallelujah. So we pray. What else do you do? You show up. Just be present. Present in the moment. Present in his house, present in his will. You recognize God in little packages. When Simeon got to the temple, I wonder if he thought that when he was going to see the Messiah, that he was going to see this big, strong, handsome guy that was going to come and be the savior of the world. And when he got there, it was a little teeny tiny baby with coos and drool on his chin. How many know God doesn't always show up in the package that you think he might show up in? And you might miss him in all the little places. And you might miss all the encounters of God if you're not looking for him, if you don't understand. There's lots of times in our life that Dan and I'll just stop and say, that was a God moment. That was orchestrated by God, that moment, that encounter, that connection. You pour into others. You be confident of God's plan. Simeon says he was ready to depart because he had seen the beginning of what was to come. How many know Simeon didn't even say, now, Lord, let me stick around long enough to find out how you're going to do this. He was in confident, and that he, Philippians 1:6 says it this way, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. You can have confidence that what God has begun in you, he will perform it and he will bring it to pass. How many know that takes some of the pressure off for you, because God will perform what he promised? Yeah. Hallelujah. Eyes to see, ears to hear what God wants to speak to us. Stand with me this morning. Amen. True waiting is active. True waiting is not dormant. It's not sleep. It's actively participating in where God has you right now. Amen. Because I believe if we truly will trust the voice of God in our hearts, in our lives, our relationships, our finances, our marriages, our kids, if we truly will trust the voice of God, he will bring to pass those things which he has promised. Amen. When we begin to hear, we begin to respond, and we begin to understand the grace of God. Simeon, he who hears, Anna, the grace of God, he ushers in a new covenant, a new way, a new... How many know Jesus did not come looking like what they thought he would look like? I kind of laughed last night as I was studying and pondering things, that Jesus came to the temple and Simeon embraced him and lifted up in his arms and said, this is what I've been waiting for. This is the moment that I have been waiting for. And he embraces that Messiah. But Jesus would come probably to that very same temple in about another 30-some years, and he would walk in with a message and read the Isaiah scrolls. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach liberty to them who are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closes the scrolls and he sits down and he says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And guess what? He didn't get that same hug. He didn't get that same embrace. He didn't get that same reception. They said, isn't this Jesus, Joseph's son, the carpenter's son? And they wanted to take him to the brow of the hill and throw him off the hill. That's what the scripture says. Sometimes Jesus can show up in our midst and we don't even know he's there, because we don't recognize him. We don't embrace him. I mean, are the very ones that should have known who he was and what he was about missed it. But Simeon said, let me hold him in my arms. Let me embrace him, because this is the very promise of God, and I will embrace it and receive it and trust it. Amen. I don't know where you are, what you're waiting for, what you're trusting God for, what you're believing for, but I want you to be confident of this, that he who has begun a good work is able to perform it. Hallelujah. Trust him. Trust his confidence. Trust his purpose. And trust the Holy Spirit. If you'll listen, you'll hear it. Amen. If you have a special need this morning, if you want to be prayed over, whatever, as Beth begins to sing, please feel free to come forward. We'd love to pray with you.